here's our man, David Shapiro. As always, I'm happy to see you. We've got lots to talk about today. First of all, of course, all our fans who followed the BizNews portfolio, who bought Sasol, as we did, at 28 Rand, are now looking at 96 Rand and saying, come on, David, why didn't you give us that one too?
In fact, I've been cautious all along. When it comes to companies, I'm very cautious. I like to look at the news. And if there are troubles ahead, I tend to stay away. And until the outlook changes, there's no certainty on demand picking up. It's looking a lot better. I'm not challenging that. And markets are moving in the right direction. But there's still so much that we have to get through there. But I'm not unhappy that the share price is going up. Anything that moves in the right direction, I'm going to support. So, and well done to you.
And to Stuart, of course. He's now known as the manipulator of West Street. We're both here in the office. We're allowed back, Dave. In fact, on level 4, we were allowed back at BizNews. We are an internet publishing company, which, believe it or not, we're allowed back as a, I suppose, semi-essential service. But I'm back in the BizNews studio at WeWork and look forward to seeing you here, hopefully, in the not-too-distant future. David, I like the picture. It's much better than the one of you with a mask.
I know, that's an awful one. It's just a bad reminder of where we are.
So where are we? When investors pick up the phone to you, all your clients, what questions are they asking and what are you telling them?
I'm okay. We've kind of been positive all along, knowing that this would pass. And it's been a very difficult time for investors. There are different markets, Eric. The global markets are all right. On the global markets, if you look at the S&P on a year-to-date basis, we're down less than 6%. So virtually after last year, after a wonderful year in 2019, to only be down 6%, I think is a lot better than I thought we'd be. On our market, we're down about maybe 12%, which also under the circumstances, admittedly that's in Rand, but I think we're far more secure. I'm not negative. I'm not negative globally. I think markets are going to claw their way back up. South Africa's got a lot of issues. You're going to be talking about banks as well, and that's a one area, together with property, that has concerned me a lot. We've seen major, major weaknesses. And you ask about clients, questions, just got a question now, and I said, well, I don't know how this is going to unpack, but if I had an opportunity, I'd buy options. In other words, this is one fund, and I'm not a derivative trader. Believe me, I never delve into geared products or options or anything like that. But in the same way as Buffett took options, he took warrants in 08, 09 on Goldman Sachs and various other structures that he went into, I think it's a wonderful time now, because I think the valuations there that we're seeing, that I don't think you're going to get another chance to look at. Mm. So there are opportunities that are going to come out of this.
David, we'll have a look in a moment at the markets generally, but if you consider advice for South African investors right now, and there's the big question on our BizNews Premium side, and it's actually a really, really good podcast that my colleague, Dr. Felicity Duncan, we should start calling her doctor now, because she is actually a doctor. She's got her PhD. And I think that what Felicity has done is she goes through all of the podcasts from our partners at the Wall Street Journal and Bloomberg, and she picks out the best of them. And she's had a look here at the two points on the global markets. Are the global markets overbought, or are they still offering opportunities? But the real question she comes to, or the conclusion she comes to, is as a South African investor, you don't really have an option. You've got to invest offshore. What do you think about that?
Absolutely right. I've been beating that drum for a good 6, 7, 8 years already. And Alec, it comes down to the opportunities. If we look at the S&P, and I'm using the S&P as a gauge for the US markets, it's an index. If you look at it, it's dominated by growth companies, tech companies, which are giants. And really, they're the kind of businesses that we use every day and dominate. In fact, even as we sit here, these are the kind of companies we need. So you are not investing in the US economy. You're investing in the companies that dominate the S&P. And there's a big difference. Those businesses are doing well at the moment and making profits, generating cash, and generating enough cash, number one, to secure their future. Why secure their future is that they can invest in their own brands or in their own businesses, and also perhaps look for other opportunities to invest in. So they become the best venture capital businesses. You don't have to look for venture capital businesses. So my contention is that in the same way as Prosus and Naspers dominate the South African market, are you buying those when you're buying the top 40 here to a large extent? 25% of it is made up of those companies. So you're not buying the SA economy. And that's why I like markets other than the economy. And there's a disconnect between the underlying economies and what the markets represent. So, yeah, I still think that offshore just gives so many opportunities and so exciting. There are just so many new businesses that are emerging.
We've done really well with the BizNews portfolio by going into tech stocks or exponential stocks in America. Is that still where you would be putting your money?
Oh, absolutely. I don't look at price earnings ratios and values like that because I've long learned that those don't dominate. Amazon was always expensive. Facebook was always expensive. You know, those companies have always been expensive. And I'd rather watch where their growth lies, what the growth upside is for those businesses. So you have to look at those kind of companies. Take a 4 or 5 year view. Are they still going to be dominant? Are we still going to be using them? And in many cases, the answer is yes. Unregulated monopolies, because no one can challenge them yet. It'll come somewhere, but not yet, not under the current circumstances.
That's quite an extraordinary graph. If you have a look at the blue graph is NASDAQ, the black one is the S&P 500, and the outperformance by NASDAQ on the S&P 500, as you can see there on the right-hand side, as of Friday, was 15%. NASDAQ up 25, S&P up 10 in the last year. So 15% outperformance. Still the place to be, or is it not overbought?
No, I don't think it's overbought. I still think there's more upside. So beware of, you know, follow that trend. You don't have to look for anything. You don't have to be too clever. And understand the underlying businesses. You can't just buy it without knowing what you're actually buying. But I think that if you look at a company like Microsoft, which is now the most valuable business in the S&P, their upside is still enormous, you know, as they expand into cloud. And with cloud itself comes a whole lot of ancillary businesses or associated businesses that will grow with them, you know, from the chips that go into the computers or into the servers to the software companies that now have to process. You know, it's a different process when you've got your data on cloud. It's a different processes that are involved. So you're getting a whole lot of businesses associated to that, to the companies that actually make the chips. So I still think that there's plenty of upside at this stage. So one doesn't have to be scared. You're going to get volatility. It happens in markets, but just stay with that trend.
Isn't that a wonderful graph that we've got on screen now, David, of Microsoft? You think of Microsoft, you think, oh, boring, the kind of share that, well, you could possibly put in your bottom drawer, and one day it'll be worth more in the future. But look at the way it's recovered through the COVID-19 crash. And indeed, at a level now which is approximating its all-time highs. In fact, it's one of the best performers in our portfolio, despite the fact that it's supposed to be a pedestrian stock. You mentioned cloud, and I guess the share that you've got to compare that against is our favorite share, or my favorite share anyway, which is Amazon. And I suppose if you have a 10-bagger, as we've had in the last 5 years from Amazon, well, who's to stop us? But there's an interesting comparison. In the past year, Microsoft has actually outperformed Amazon. By 11%. Not bad.
Yeah. As an accountant, I love Amazon's accounting because they write off everything straight away. Mm-hmm. They don't capitalize. So where they're expending on building a business, they write it off at the start. And I don't think analysts actually appreciate that. So what you see is what you get. And Bezos just keeps building that business. He doesn't stop looking for new avenues and new angles and that. And yes, it scares regulators because of his power. And it certainly scares Trump. But he has a man who, at the moment, I've got the utmost faith. His judgment is just superb. And, yep, so, you know, he writes off. In the last quarter, he wrote off a huge amount of money, which he's reinvesting in the safety of his staff, you know, which is the right way to go. So you can't punish him for that and say, oh, we're not getting earnings. I think earnings is coming subsidiary to other issues. A new world now, you're much more interested in the brand of the company, what it contributes to the community, what it contributes to its customers, what it contributes to its staff. But the earnings will come. So I'm with you as well. I've got both of those. Continue to support them, as well as Google and Alphabet and a whole lot of others.